Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back to more Dukes and Bell.
Let's go.
Presented by Finley Roofing.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
Which way are we going to go? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Hey, as we talk about what Terry Fontenot had to say today, and we'll let you hear a couple of other things, including Kirk Cousins attending workouts, and he said, I'm not surprised. I mean, I was, but he said he wasn't. But, Mike, look, there are numerous ways to skin a cat. And when you talk about how to make your team better, and more importantly, your defense better, it's not just one position. I just got a great tweet at Put 'em Up, See Dukes. Follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL from one of our loyal listeners. And look, we love interacting with you guys. But he said, Dukes, we don't necessarily need edge. We need a defensive impactful player. Why not, as he alluded to, go with one of these big defensive tackles? Now, this is something, if you're just joining the show, that I've been talking about. And I would not be surprised if they did that. He was talking about Kenneth Grant, Mike, DT from Michigan. I said, I don't think Kenneth Grant's going to be there.
Right.
I think some of these guys that are at the top of this draft on the defensive line are going to be gone. But you and I have been talking about a guy that I don't think, no disrespect, that most college football fans, especially in the South, did not watch a lot of. But this guy's a beast.
Now, I was in vacation. I was over in Italy, so I was watching on the phone. And so I wasn't watching like the whole game. So I came back and I watched it on DVR. Guy that really popped. And well, granted, everybody popped against Florida State because they were terrible. But this guy also popped against Pitt and everybody else he played. We're talking about a guy who is the Ted Hendricks Award winner for the best edge rusher.
Yeah.
So this is the guys who vote for this consider all those awards at Disney World. He's the best edge rusher of this college class. And that is Donovan Ezeraku. And Ezeraku is a
Boston
dude.
Boston College.
6'3", not the biggest guy, but this guy gets the quarterback. And if you look at his individual game logs and numbers, he gets the quarterback on the ground, Carl, but he also sets the edge. So, in other words, running backs aren't running for miles. Remember Matthew Judon, how bad he was at setting the edge last year?
For sure.
I mean, granted, anybody who's played the position for us over the years. But talk about some of the games you saw him playing.
Well, I got sent a couple of clips of a bunch of these early potential first-round D-tackles. And one of the things that I was telling Mike is, you talk about setting the edge. I saw him take on a, not just one time, but a couple of different times, take on a double team. Mike, there's things that you see in a game, and he takes on a double team. He throws a tackle out of the way. He's moving down the line of scrimmage, and he makes a play on like an outside zone play. Now, for many of you, you know, it'd be like, okay, well, what's the big deal? It's the fact that they were trying to contain him. He was not supposed to make the play. You're double teaming a guy like this, Mike. You're saying that guy's not going to make the play. Somebody else has got to come make the play. And he makes the play, and he made it look easy. And the thing about it is, when we talk about, again, I say run stop, but run defense, if you're going to be stout on the offensive or the defensive line, Mike, this is the kind of guy that could help with that on our Falcon football team. So not only do we get bigger, right, and I'm talking about just bigger, stout, more size up front, but also you got a guy that laterally, Mike, moves. I'm not going to tell you like a linebacker, but this dude is he's nimble, man. I love the kid.
Now, again, this gets back to guys in their car right now. They're going, Donovan, who?
Yeah, right.
Boston, what?
Right.
Because, and look, I'm guilty as charged. I've been screaming and railing about why don't they take Georgia players or SEC players over the years. They certainly take Alabama players when it comes to Julio, and I get all that. But as far as, you know, Mykel Williams, you know, are you concerned about the ankle? We had on Charles Davis today. He said the ankle's okay. We talked to Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Connor was saying that, you know, didn't look the same. Didn't really pass the eye test last time he saw him. So, Shamar Stewart, you know, that's a guy that has too many red flags for you and I. James Pierce, I don't know what fact or fiction is, but a guy that you just look at the numbers. The problem is when we talk about a guy like Donovan Ezeraku versus a Mykel Williams, who when he was healthy was throwing around Texas linemen like ragdolls, Carl, when he finally got that ankle right, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was good against Texas. The argument's going to be for our Falcon fans right now in the car are going to say, who the hell was Ezeraku playing against because they don't respect the ACC.
No, that's the problem. But if you ask anybody who's been evaluating this draft, this dude's a top overall top 20 player. You would be getting a top 20 player in this draft. That's how good he is.
Some consider him the third or second best edge rusher.
And that's saying a lot. While we're talking about this, I mean, and again, you know, it's all in what the eye of the beholder is. But, Mike, I think, like, that's a guy that's on many teams' boards right now that most people are not going to pay attention to. And he's going to be one of these guys 3 years from now. You're going to go, man, I remember hearing about this guy. Because I think his skill set propels directly to the NFL. He's another guy that, Mike, I think you could jump in and start for you. And see, that's what we're talking about. I don't need to wait. I don't want a guy to be on the field every other play, or he's a two-down guy. I need a guy that's going to come in and immediately have an impact. He's built to do that.
The only game, and I was going back and looking at some of the tape, the one game he didn't have any sacks and had five tackles, that was the SMU game. Probably the best team he played. Pretty good team. So if you're just looking for, you know,
yeah, we played in the ACC championship.
We're getting comparative scores, and we're looking for teams that, you know, SMU really came in and just blew doors in the ACC. Look, I still like Mykael Williams, but I still, my spidey sense, I don't know. I'm just, you never get what you want as a Falcon fan. I'm going to go with Mike Green. I like Mike Green for the same thing, the physicality. If you get hung up on the small school thing, he did play at UVA. We do know he had some off-the-field stuff, which for whatever reason he left. As a couple guys asked us earlier, do you think the Falcon filter's back? No. And that's going to prevent them from drafting Mike Green if he's available.
No. Let me help you. No. No.
Not just no. Hell no.
No, it's not. And the reason is simple. They have people in the building that they feel like if they're drafting a guy and there are any issues or concerns, they're going to be able to deal with them. You're not going to draft a guy that is so out of control, and Mike, you're going to catch so much heat that it becomes the story of the draft. There's nobody in this draft like that. And they're right. Not even going to put themselves in that kind of position. So when you say red flags, I kind of laugh because I'm like, what are we really talking about here?
And they're not mine, perceived red flags.
Yes.
I don't care.
No, I don't either. But I will tell you, no, that's not going to be a concern. I think if you tell me that they draft one of these guys, Pierce. And
right.
People have talked about James Pierce from Tennessee and say, oh, well, there's some things that we're concerned about. What are you concerned about? Because I still think the kid can play, and I think he's going to go high in this draft. He may not be the first or second edge rusher taken, but I think he's going to be taken fairly high. And again, you know, does he have a first-round grade on him? A lot of people do. But it's all going to depend on how the draft shakes out.
Right.
Some of the best players in this draft are going to fall to the second round tomorrow. They are.
But that's the thing. We had this whole discussion the last few days with everybody who covers Georgia about how do you quantify a Georgia player, because sometimes the sack numbers aren't necessarily there. Trayvon Walker gets to the Jaguars by the second year. He's a beast. He's one of the best edge rushers in the league. But if you want guys that are proven, at least whatever you feel about the level of competition, Green had 17 sacks. Okay? Ezeraku had 16 and a half sacks. Pierce had 7.5 sacks, including none versus Georgia. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this gets into the level. Some guys have their... Oh, it's competition. Oh, it's the want to. I don't. You and I both agree. We don't want Shamar Stewart, right? We don't want that guy.
Well, look, after what I heard about Shamar, and again, I was always skeptical, but for my A&M folks, man, it's just if you're telling me he is an athletic freak, that's cool. Is he a difference maker, an impact player? I don't know. And, you know, it's a guy we brought up with Charles Davis earlier. 1.5 sacks in his sophomore, junior, and senior year at Texas A&M. That just doesn't add up. And again, you can talk about the scheme and all of that, but Texas A&M has not had an elite defense. Mike Elko just got there.
Right.
So it's one of those things where you go, all right, traditionally, what have they done? I just have my doubts about Shamar.
But there's still a part of me that I look at Mykael Williams and I say, man, that dude, you know, of all the times they've always passed on Georgia, and you see what the Eagles have done, that's not prisoner of the moment. The Eagles are doing it the right way. They're getting results year after year. And is Mykael Williams. But the problem is the Eagles have a great defense that Georgia players plug into. If Mykael Williams comes in here, is he going to have that same result considering
the lack of
depth around him, especially in the interior of the defensive line?
Yeah, you don't have the players around him. Mike, I told you, Nick Skorton is the best pass rusher out of A&M if you're going to go from that group of guys. Hey, man, tomorrow we're live at Mercedes-Benz. I'm inviting you to make sure you listen all day. Listen, news could break. And Mike said it. We come in here tomorrow, and all of a sudden we have a couple of trades in the draft. The outlook changes. I do think teams will be looking to make deals tomorrow, but I just feel like there's so much being asked for picks 1, 2, and 3. Titans have already said we're sticking at 1, so I don't think that pick's for sale anymore. What about the Browns and the Giants, Mike?
If somebody get ready for this one.
If somebody wants to move.
I got a pretty darn good source.
So that's going to set the tone for this draft, man. It really is tomorrow. But we're going to be down there at Mercedes-Benz bringing you all the latest. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we hope you tune in not just for us, but all day, all evening long with the post-draft stuff. And then Friday, man, who are we talking to? We'll see tomorrow.
Right. And the question is going to be, for once in your freaking Falcon life, For once in your freaking Falcon life, do we get the guy that, first off, we're excited about it, and then more importantly, that he matches it with the results on the field.
Hopefully.
And we get a guy that you want to buy his jersey. He's going to be here for 10 years or more. Maybe he gets a gold jacket. A dude is going to be a legacy player. You know, because it just seems like, man, other teams get that guy, and we just never get that guy in the defensive side of the ball.
No doubt. All right, we got to get out of here, man. Chris has got the night show for you. Stay right there. Let's clear our throats.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Make sure you check out all of the interviews at Odyssey.com. Go back and rewind. Hear what Charles Davis had to say today as he helped us break down a lot of the players we've been talking about. Tomorrow, we got a plethora of guests to stop by as well. Leading up to the draft, you don't want to miss it, starting at 2 o'clock. Hey, Big O behind the glass, thank you as always. Our engineer and Data Executive Producing. Hey, stay there. Chris is coming up. Mike Bell. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, when they said that General Manager and President LeBron decided to hire J.J. Redick as the head coach of the Lakers, I was dubious. I said, you know, sometimes these guys have never done it. It doesn't work out. You know, we've had some really good players, including some MVPs that just, you know, don't make it happen. Well, in this case, J.J. Redick finally said, okay, I'm going to be cool. It's kind of like that Showtime documentary about the Lakers where Pat Riley's character finally just loses it. Well, J.J. Redick finally lost it, and he went bananas, and he was cussing like worse than Krzyzewski ever did, and he got the results. Good job, J.J. Redick. You got to know when to push the button, and it worked for the Lakers.
Hey, who are these anonymous coaches that are saying he's not any good? Put your name on it. There's nothing worse than hearing, oh, an anonymous coach feels like he isn't any good. Of course I'm talking about Shedeur Sanders. I said, we'll know in due time. But put your name on it. If you don't think somebody's any good, put your name on it. Don't hide behind some anonymous report where, oh,
yeah,
he's not any good.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Be a man.
Yeah.
Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't.
Your favorite Greek wine is called Anonymous.